And I want to set the principles here as a guideline in how to help walk through and work through this book of Revelation. I have no intention of being speculative. I have no intention of trying just to say fantastic things for the sake of saying fantastic things. One of the best guides that I have found is the chapter summary on this chapter 6 by one of my favorite commentators, Albert Barnes. I recommend that you read it.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and we're going straight today to Revelation chapter 6, where we have Christ on the white horse going forth conquering and to conquer. And that is our Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing to have a Savior who is conquering on our behalf. Stay tuned as we go now to Revelation 6.
Back in Revelation 5:5, you have this word conquered again. That's the previous chapter, chapter 5, verse 5, where it says that he hath prevailed to open the book. The word prevailed means conquered. And our Lord Jesus is our conqueror from the moment of his entering into the world until the end of the world. He is our conqueror. As the head of his kingdom, he exerts his power to build his church. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful hope for us to have tonight in our Lord Jesus. And I don't want to just preach running from one horse to the next horse. I want us tonight to saturate our souls with this picture, this wonderful vision of our Lord Jesus as the commander, the general of his troops, going forth battling for the truth. Now, what do we know about the Lord Jesus as our mighty fighter? Well, we know that he binds the strong man, the devil. Remember the Lord Jesus ministering that first of all, you need to bind the strong man. If you enter into a house, you're not going to spoil his goods until you bind that strong man. Well, Satan, of course, is the one who claims to have souls as his captives. And we need a redeemer who can bind or dismantle the power of the devil, and to release and set souls free. And as a Christian, that's what we're enjoying tonight, that we have been liberated and set free. We're no longer serving the devil. We can say that he has no longer any hold on our lives. We are completely delivered, justified freely. There is no more loyalty or claim to the devil. We are set free. In the world, the Lord also raises up and he pulls down leaders. That's true politically, and it's true in his church. The Lord, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And that should move us to pray that God will give us nations that are governed according to the will of God. And the Bible tells us to pray for kings and those that are in authority. And we are to recognize that they have no power without the Lord. It's true also in the Lord's church. We have a famine for preachers today. And there's a famine for preaching. And there's a famine of hearers. But it is the Lord who must send us a reviving and give us men sent from God. His kingdom, of course, is spiritual. Now, I know we've got this very vivid scene of a white horse. We've got the picture of a king conquering, going forth to conquer. That is very visual and very dramatic. But when we do what I said earlier, take the light of the Bible and apply it to this very picturesque, vivid scene, we know that Christ is working spiritually. He says, the kingdom of God is within you, that he works as leaven works, or as the mustard seed. It starts off so ever so small, and yet it grows and grows and grows. And this is how the Lord Jesus governs his church and promotes his kingdom. And we are told that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. I'll take you to that text in just a little while when we think of that work the Lord is doing on the earth. And the kingdom of God is spiritual. It is within. Now, what does a king do when he subdues his people? He makes us willing for his will. That's grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you are calling the Lord Jesus tonight your king, if you pray and worship him as your king, he has conquered your heart. Because we were all born with sinful hearts, wicked hearts, hearts that resist and fight the will of God. But somehow by grace, this king has won your heart and each heart. And across this country, there are many Christians. And in the United States, and you can name all the countries of the world tonight, the Lord has his people whose hearts he has subdued. They fall at the feet of Jesus. They crown him king and call him Lord. That's Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer. There's a great illustration of this in the Lord riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, a colt. It was one upon which man had never ridden. And yet when it was brought to the Lord, he was able to subdue that animal and ride right into the city in a very orderly fashion. The Lord can subdue, and he can change rebellious, wicked hearts and turn those hearts to himself. We know that he did so with Paul the Apostle, the persecutor of the church, one who was madly against Christ and Christians. And yet the Lord conquered Paul, and he became a preacher of the gospel. And the Lord multiplies that over and over. And every convert knows the power of the Lord working within. Now, tonight we sang that hymn, The Savior of the World. And I want to read to you just one stanza of it. I cannot tell how all the lands shall worship when at his bidding every storm is stilled, or who can say how great the jubilation when all the hearts of men with love are filled. But this I know, the skies will thrill with gladness, and myriad, myriad human voices sing, and earth to heaven and heaven to earth will answer, forevermore the Savior of the world is King. And that is a wonderful missionary hymn. And it is the Lord in his gospel work going forth, conquering and to conquer. Now, as head of the church, he oversees the gathering out of his people from every part of the world. Would you turn with me to Matthew 24? And I'm going to ask you to keep a marker in Matthew 24, because we're going to be referring to it a little bit here this evening. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels, and with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. Who are these elect? They are those whom the Father has given him, of every tribe, nation, tongue, and people. In Russia, Iran, China, the Amazon, here in Canada, this meeting in the air, when the angels will be sent forth and Christ will gather out his people. I wonder, is there someone here tonight that is not submitted to Christ as your King, and you will be left behind when he sends his angels to gather in his church, his people, and everyone who is rightly related to the Lord Jesus will be saved on that day. The Lord's going to control the whole event. I wonder, will you be there? I wonder, are you a subject to the Lord Jesus, that he is the King of your life and he will gather you home? Now, the second picture that I want to deal with tonight. Now, again, keep your marker, please, in Matthew 24. Let's not lose that spot. But the picture of the world of suffering. And we come now to the other horses, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. And I call this the real world because they bring war, famine, and death. In verse 4, Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, we read, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Now, red, of course, is for blood. And this horse and rider, they take peace away from the earth. And when peace is taken away from the world, see what the result is. When the Lord's restraint, when the Lord's mercy of peace is removed, you see what happens. They kill one another. The Prince of Peace removes his governing powers, and men do what they do by nature. They war and kill. Peace in this world is not normal. We think of peace as the status quo. That's just the normal. We should expect peace. Well, that's not real. The real world is a world of rebellion, a world of anarchy. It's the world that you see prior to the flood in Noah's time, a world where every man is moved by his own wicked imagination, where there is violence and mayhem. And that's the world without the restraining grace of God. Now, to understand this, we need to learn that the Lord's work is to restrain rebellion and evil. In the Psalm 76, it says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain." And that's common grace in this world. God holding back the evil tide of violence and rebellion. That's grace. But when that is removed, you have war and rebellion on the go. Let's read together Psalm 2 on this. Psalm chapter 2 and verses 1 to 6. Psalm 2, verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage?" That's the real world. A world of rebellion and war, and the people imagine a vain thing. "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision.
Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. You can see now what man would do. You can see the restraint of the Lord, and you can see that he's working as a king. And that ties into the Lord Jesus restraining the evil in this world. And so let us not take peace for granted. When you sleep at night with relative safety, without fear, that is a great gift from God. We live in a world where countless people do not enjoy that. They live in terror. They live with constant fear of attack and opposition. But never take it for granted. Now the black horse in verses 5 and 6, you see that he opened the third seal, and I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. Now the balances are for the weighing out of the food. Barley, wheat are mentioned in verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." That describes scarcity. It describes want. And a penny a day is a man's wages. And yet it's not enough to feed himself. And where there may not be outright famine around the world, there is hunger. There is distress. There is inability to make ends meet. People lose their homes. They end up in the street. And there are many homeless people who are there not just because of drugs and mental issues, but because of illness, inability to work, loss of jobs. You read of Canada in the 1930s. Train loads of men going to Ottawa, protesting the government, looking for jobs. The Dirty 30s, as it was called. And that was linked again with famine, the want of rain, the loss of crops in Canada. And around the world, famine, want, is the daily grind and the daily struggle of multitudes of people. That's the real world. The real world. Now we'll move on and look at the pale horse in verse 8. We're told, "I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the world." This is a world of death. Where's the nearest cemetery to here? Where's the nearest funeral home? Tomorrow the newspaper will be filled with obituaries of those who have died within days. Every day from the cities of our nations, the dead are carried out to be buried and to be put to rest. Death, I'm glad to see, reigns over the fourth part of the earth to kill, cause hunger and death. Thankfully, there is normal life going on in the midst of all this. And not every family is hit with bereavement at the same time. But there are many around us who are deeply sorrowing for the loss. This pale horse of death, of course, is this world of war, of famine and death. It entered the world immediately. Cain, that first family, Cain slew his brother. War, death, bloodshed. Nimrod, when it says Nimrod became a mighty hunter, he wasn't just out shooting deer with his bow and arrow. He was a warrior.
And there was instantly blood and mayhem in the world. We read of the pharaohs and the dynasties that were built upon war and slavery, the misery of men. And every generation throughout world history have known war, famine, and death. And this is the real world. Because of pride and power mongering, instead of ministries of help, they have been destruction and carnage. And isn't this not exactly what the Lord Jesus preached? I want to take you back to Matthew 24. And I'm not going to preach this tonight. I'm just going to read a number of verses. Verse 3 down to 13, 14. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall this be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars. Circle that one. And rumors of wars, reports of wars. Turn on your television, read the newspaper, get the next traveler from another country. More war and strife and trouble. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. This is the real world. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Do not we feel that? But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now there's those three horses. The red horse of war. The red horse of nation against nation seeking to destroy each other. And then you have the black horse, famine, pestilence, diseases, and the pale horse. But you'll notice in the midst of it, verse 14, the white horse, Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Right in the midst of these things, in what we call the real world, the world of anarchy and rebellion, of war and famine and death, in the midst of those things, Christ conquers. He builds his church. He gathers out his people. Nothing is going to stop the program of the Lord in building his church. Now we've talked about great wars. There's drug wars going on. There's gang warfare in our modern cities and streets. There are domestic wars, husbands and wives that bicker and fight and even kill one another. There's all kinds of hatred and spite at work in the hearts of men. And yet, the gospel calls sinners to repent, believe, and turn to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. In John 16:33 are probably some of the most encouraging words. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's our hope. That's our confidence tonight. You may ask me, will the church go through the tribulation? Just read Matthew 24, you got your answer. Just read the history of these horses. See, in the midst of the mayhem of war, famine, and death, Christ going forth, conquering and to conquer. Now, if we're going to conquer, if we're going to overcome and endure these things, we need Christ in our hearts. We need Him to be our Lord and our Savior. And one day, death will fall upon you. One day, your body will be taken to the nearest cemetery, and you will be led to rest. Where will your soul be? Are you saved? Are you a Christian? Will you rise on that resurrection day when Christ comes and He sends His angels to gather the saints from the four winds, the four corners of the earth? Will you be gathered to heaven? You need to be a Christian. You need to be saved. And these things are written for us tonight for our warning and for our comfort, that there is a Savior who's in control, because He's going forth conquering and to conquer. And He can conquer the sin in your life. He can conquer whatever rebellion you live with. He can change your heart. He can give you a new name and a new nature and one day a new home. That's the promise and the assurance the Savior gives us. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. And praise God, He's going to prove it on that great and wonderful day. What a great thing to have a Savior in a real world of suffering. And as we visit the sick beds and the death beds, and as we talk to the lost of the world, we need to let them know there is a Savior that can conquer, and even in the midst of their death, give them the hope of eternal life. That's the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.